At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Football Pod on OTB Sports.
Have you ever seen a team like Limerick that are so physically dominant? They're absolutely
financially dominant.
The Football Pod is available every Tuesday exclusively on the OTB Sports app.
Mayo unveiled their new playing surface, but it ended up being a one-point defeat for them in the Connacht Football Championship against Galway. I'm delighted to say Kevin Walsh is with us to give us some analysis of what happened. Kevin, a topsy-turvy game that almost ended in a draw at the end. What was your take on first off, let's start with Galway's performance. What did you make of it?
I suppose, look, it was, as you said, topsy-turvy. It was, you hear of a game of two halves, but it was like a game of four quarters where Galway obviously started off well, went maybe 6 points ahead, and Mayo closed the gap at half time. And again, Galway came out well again, and Mayo closed the gap towards the half and fell short. But I suppose, look, at Galway controlled the game, to be honest. They definitely were far more efficient with the chances they had. And I suppose, you know, the downfall again for Mayo was possibly their long free taker was non-existent, and they didn't seem to have one from the right hand side, which, you know, would have cost a little bit as well. But in fairness to Galway, I suppose they did show that bit of bite, and it was very important that when Mayo came back at them before half time, that they came out again, and they did in the first half and second half. So, albeit there's a lot of learnings from it, the fact that they almost closed the gap at the end.
What do you think the learnings from Galway's perspective will be?
I think they're going to have to look at, I suppose, either way, whether you win or you lose, the two imposters are the same. So it's really important that they look at the analysis of it, because sometimes winning can cover over cracks, and losing can be too deep at times. So if you look at the kickouts, for instance, I think Galway only won 9 of their own 19 that went long. And I think that's a low enough percentage where that'll have to be upped, where I think Mayo won 6 of their 8 long ones. So that needs to be worked on. I think they got something like 26 attacks in the game and got 22 shots off, which is good. That's really, really good shooting, getting shots off. But again, you have to wonder on the Mayo side how they let 22 out of 26 shots off, what the defence was like. I think we called it last week that when Mayo are unable to stop teams coming out like they were 3 or 4 years ago, they needed to have a plan B in the back, like with a sweeper or whatever you want to call it at different times to protect the back. And, you know, when you get 22 shots off of 26 attacks, you'd have to wonder what Mayo's intensity in the back was like. I suppose the other thing is, you know, that like Damien Comer was top class yesterday, and there's a few other forwards you'd like to get a bit more involved that might just take a bit of the mantle there.
Just talk to us a little bit about the Mayo defence then for a moment, will you? Because it certainly seems as if Galway had learned some of the lessons from the last couple of seasons, where they had been fairly open at the back and they were funneling loads of bodies behind the ball who were being effective at stopping Mayo. Why were Mayo not able to do the same thing?
I suppose, look, it's about practice. And I don't know if they've ever done that. And if you go back over the years, you know, you had a half-back line there of Durkin, Boyle and Keegan, who were a continuous threat pushing teams backwards. But Mayo don't have those three there anymore. I know Keegan is there, but he's gone back in the back to fill up holes in the back where Keith Higgins is gone. So I'm not so sure how much Mayo have replaced their players yet. And don't forget as well, when you have McLaughlin going well up front and your Keenan O'Connor going well up front and your Jason Doherty and your Andy Morden and those guys, they were really good at stopping the opposition coming out. Which means they probably eventually got bodies funneled back, but they had another 5 or 10 seconds to do that. And now, at the minute, they're struggling. And I'm just wondering with James Horden, has he ever had the plan B to get into that way? And he had different players than he had 5, 6 years ago. You're going to have to adapt your game plan to the players that you have. And I'm not sure the Mayo have got there yet.
Maybe it's a strength and depth issue as well. I mean, the several key players injured, including the goalkeeper, and so their own kickouts were erratic. Oshie Mullen goes off after half time, and all of a sudden you are down the depth chart, and maybe they just didn't have enough bodies to be able to do what they were trying to do.
Maybe, but I think they were still struggling when Oisin Mullen was on there. I mean, if you look at the one of the first 2 points goal we got, Damien Comer knocked the ball down to himself. He was going away from goal. He turned maybe after 10 yards, and the two Mayo guys were standing to look at him where he turned and just put the ball over uncontested. That wasn't happening when the key takings of this world were there, and Oisin Mullen was on the field at the time. So it's just, I'm not so sure. James Durkin was obviously lost. The goalkeeper would have been lost for long free kicks, which wasn't there for that. But you know, I thought Burns' kickouts weren't that bad yesterday. So, but yeah, look, we're going to have to look at certainly having another style to go to when O'Card.
What did we see from Galway yesterday in terms of a defensive system that we didn't see earlier this year?
Well, I it was something I expected. I was down at, I think I called it on the podcast last week, where I was down at the Clare game in Tuam in the league, and there was 1-2 each at half time where Galway had 15 behind the ball in the first 20 minutes. I mean, behind the halfway line. So it was obviously something that they were going to go back to. And for me, looking in, I think it's good to see that forward thinking. That, you know, this I suppose the narrative of the Galway style back in the years gone by. Like I would have been, I'm talking about this for a long, long time. It's not about style. It's about moving on, and it's about doing the best thing for the team, and at the end of the day, like we have seen the goal coach, it's about taking space and making space. You don't have the ball, you take the space that matters, and when you do have it, you make the space that matters, and you get your best players in the best position. So, you know, like Galway were getting back well yesterday. They were behind in the field a lot of the time, one or two left up front, and why wouldn't you do that? That's the way the game has gone. That's the most effective part of the game, and to win, you're going to learn to do that. And I suppose that's where Mayo haven't moved yet, and maybe they'll start moving there now. But Galway have been moving there now, which you could see during the league it was happening. And it had happened once or twice last year as well, after maybe they decided to go full press. There's not a few heavy beatings, so they learned from that. So it's just hopefully that the plan A, B and C will be there for, you know, you've got to look at this in different ways. Like, if you're with a strong wind, it has to be what it's now. You should be pushing up all day. If you're against a strong wind and they have a very strong partnership against, midfield partnership against you, you've got to be able to protect and cover over the top. So there's loads of the what-if scenario, and teams have got to be coached for all that, and it all depends on the clientele you've got for players. So are Mayo strong as they were up front before with their tackling? I don't think they are, so they need to adapt.
It's interesting that you said that you saw signs of this defensive system last year at times from Galway. So like, is it different from, say, the first season of Padraig Joyce? Is this something that just didn't exist, and now he's suddenly thought to himself, right, we need to have a bit more of a defensive system at times?
But look, I suppose you're going to learn that as you go along, but when you've shipped heavy scores, and even in the league this year there was heavy scores shipped as well, you're going to obviously have to look at that, and you know, that's what management is about. There's backroom teams, and analysts is there, a whole lot is there. So it's about getting your team the best you can be, and you know, you're going to have to. And Roscommon is going to pose, or not Roscommon, but whoever comes through the rest, and Roscommon will now be favourites to come through the rest. They will pose big threats, and you know, you could see last night, and you know, that Galway were getting bodies back, two sleepers back at times, and you know, I'm not for sure that Mayo were strong enough inside even to try and see could they move the Galway sweepers around, because the better teams will actually move them around, and then we'll see, I suppose, to make sure that they know exactly what they're doing.
It was a weirdly flat performance from Mayo, wasn't it? Under the circumstances, first time back in the new pitch and all that kind of stuff, and a home crowd. Even the crowd seemed flat.
Yeah, it was a funny kind of a game. Like I said, it was like four quarters type of thing, you know. I suppose the crowd started to get going towards the end, when maybe they saw Mayo come back with a very late rally. And it's ironic that it was had to be Lee Keegan that kicked the outside of the boot to maybe put a kick start in the Mayo side. And you know, it's probably the last 5 or 6 minutes was the most time where the crowd got going.
So from Mayo's perspective, they have 5-6 weeks off now. It's the ridiculous scenario where they, you know, they go off and have a whole pre-season and they get to taper up again, and they might have bodies back, and they'll certainly have more training in the legs of the players who were just getting in under the wire yesterday to start the game. So what should we expect from them for the rest of the season?
Look, to be fair, if you look at Killian O'Connor, this is his first day yesterday as well, which is probably a big ask. As you said earlier on, James Durkin is missing, and he's a big loss as well, as is the keeper there, and Jordan Flynn midfield. So, you know, three or four bodies can make a huge difference. But I still think they're going to have to adapt over the next number of weeks to get something else a little bit in place, because no matter who comes in the forward, they're not yet up to the standard of where Andy Morden would have been. You know, Kieran O'Connor when he was going his best. Kevin McLaughlin was a real tiger when he was going his best. So they're going to have to just look at other areas as well, that to make them a stronger unit, depending on what opposition they're going to be given. And you know, the back door now doesn't give it three or four games where you might be getting less opposition. You're going to probably go into the line then straight away. So, but the only thing is they have a few weeks to get together, and there'll probably be other teams looking for challenge matches. So it's they've got a bit of time to get things right.
From a Galway perspective, how important was it to get over the line? And like, so that there's a Mayo forward with the ball, the weight of the ball in his hands, and if that goes over, we're headed for extra time. Not a situation that they would have thought when they were, you know, making the substitutions with a 5-6 point lead, the clock ticking into the red. I presume Galway thought they were going to see that game out. So they definitely, you know, they're not there yet as one of those cynical teams who can kill a game off. But it's much easier to have that analysis in the aftermath of a game that you've won than it is after you've lost. Those conversations are like, geez, we got away with one there, but don't do it again. So,
no, you're right. I suppose it's great to be able to learn a lesson and there's no consequence. And but again, I suppose it's something regardless. Like I said about the two imposters, the winning and losing, you can't just walk away from it either, because, you know, last year, Monaghan got a late goal to relegate Galway. Roscommon got a late goal this year when they looked like Galway were off the league final. And Mayo almost came back there again yesterday, and he did get a shot off to draw that game. So either way, so that's something that Galway have to look at. But as you said, it's good to get away with a cheap lesson. But again, like, look, there's still a nervy moment, so it's very hard to sometimes subconsciously you're waiting for the whistle to go. And I suppose, like, Galway haven't won a kind of final since 2018 now again, so it really had to stop the rot again, and that was really, really vital to win that game yesterday. So you can see how delighted Pádraig and the manager team on the line yesterday. A lot of pressure was on there yesterday, and to get the result has taken a lot off. So I suppose, look, you know, Mayo again were heading for other Connacht finals, and it was a very, very important to stop that rot and give Galway a chance to get another Connacht title this year after 2018.
And does that give the team confidence then, so that the next time they're in that scenario, they do something different as opposed to retreating again?
I mean, too, because you have young players there that they just need to understand. And I suppose you have to go through this. It's fine telling people. You have to experience it. You know, I've always said about 79-1. You should be preparing for 79 minutes, not 70. And if it goes into 77 minutes, you're still 2 minutes ahead of the time. So, like, I suppose you'll get it, I suppose, through experience, but you should all be preparing for about 8 minutes overtime. You always should be, and not even look at the clock, because keep doing the same thing and be confident in what you're doing and just finish it out and not be retreating or not be worrying about it or not being hoping the whistle goes. It's out of your control. And I think it's important that people learn that. And that's a huge lesson from yesterday. Hopefully that the boys will pull something from that.
I just wanted to ask you about Paul Conroy. He's obviously, you would have managed him, and he's had some tough seasons, obviously, with the horror injury that he had a few years back. How happy are you, and I guess actually how surprised you, that he's come back not only to the player that he was, but to almost hit a higher height than he's ever hit in a Galway jersey, it seems. Like, if you were handing out a Player of the Year award right now, he'd be right in the conversation.
Yeah, look, Paul works awful hard, always has. He always worked hard in his body. He's always first at training. He's always consistently just trying to get better. So he's always been a good kicker. So, you know, I suppose he's come in the right pockets. He's very, very confident in what he's doing at the minute. He's quite enough first half of yesterday, but then he came out and kicked 2 points again after half time. So he's fallen into those pockets, and he's a lovely kicker. I suppose going forward, you know, I just suppose it's something that Mayo looked like yesterday. It looked like they were a long way off the kickers. Look at Kenny McDaig, kicked a pint. Conley got three. Johnny Heaney kicked one there, uncontested. Kieran Malloy kicked one, unpressurised. You know, it looks, I know I'm going away from the goal points here, but it looks like the Mayo weren't putting as much pressure as they should be on the kicker. But to be fair to Paul, he's a leader, and he's always stepped up at big points. But over the last few games, he's got more than one or two, which is great for him.
Kevin Walsh, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
No problem. Thanks.
Where are Galway in the power rankings now?
The Football Pod on OTB Sports.
Have you ever seen a team like Limerick that are so physically dominant? They're absolutely
financially dominant.
The Football Pod is available every Tuesday exclusively on the OTB Sports app.